All right, Luna, we're on the podcast again.
Yeah.
You know, people tell me, like, they love the podcast with you in it.
They do?
Yes. Absolutely. They love listening to you, your questions, and your stuff that you say, and honestly,
you know what?
They love it.
I have another amazing question.
Okay, I'm ready for your amazing questions today.
How do people make crayons and colored pencils be in this way that they write?
Fantastic question. Okay. I wish I knew the answer. Sorry. Next question. No, I'm kidding. So here's really first, I want to start with a bit of the history, okay? Because most of the time you have to figure out how to make something yourself, okay? You make something yourself by yourself. So how would you make, like, let's say a pencil? I actually don't know what's inside that pencil.
It is lead.
It's called
from
lead.
A tree.
I don't think the lead is from a tree.
Well, people tell me it's from a tree.
The wood is from a tree, but is it lead? Or is lead from a pencil from a tree? I'm going to ask.
This is what I'm talking about where he can't always answer my questions.
It's not lead at all. The word lead is actually a false word. It's actually a thing called graphite.
Graphite?
Oh, wow. Yes. A storm. Okay, back in the 1500s, okay?
That's a long time.
Yep, that was, 500 years ago. There was a tree that went down.
Knew it.
Yeah, and the tree, at the bottom of the tree, was a shiny black thing called graphite. Now, it says we don't know how much truth there is to that story, but we do know that that place was the first mine of graphite. A mine is where you dig into the ground and you find things. Also, it's not from the tree. I think the tree just had it. There was graphite in the ground. It's not from the tree. The tree is not where the graphite is from. Okay? It's from the ground. Where is graphite from? Where is that found? It is in the ground. Okay? Yes. So, it actually is not from a tree, the lead. It's from the ground.
Okay, now how do they make...
But like wait, color. I haven't finished answering the question.
Haven't?
No, not at all, no. So, sticks, let's say, you see this, the thing is graphite. Now they have to put graphite in like a bit of a stick, right? That machine does that. But the first time
otherwise,
they tried it.
Otherwise, if you have it and it's not in the thing, it gets really sticky. Well, not sticky, but it gets all over your hands. See my hands? Just by coloring it, it gets a little bit on my hands.
Yep.
Because I need to like do this.
Yep.
So.
Exactly. So they found the stuff on the ground, then somehow someone put it together in some place to hold it. Then the wood. First, you have like just a stick, and I don't know exactly how they did it, but they put together that, and they put it together. Now a machine does it, Luna. A machine that you put all bunch of wood in there, and the machine will cut it and put that and put the lead inside and put it all together. But the first time you do it, you don't make a machine. The machine makes you do something over and over and over and over and over and over. But when you do it the first time, you just do it with your hands.
Otherwise, how will you know what the machine will do?
Exactly. What a smart girl. So, yeah. And then see the pencil, that metal part. That's also from a machine, the eraser. I don't actually know what an eraser is made out of. But basically right now...
That's one of my questions.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. How to make a pencil.
How to make a pencil. So, there's a shortcut, okay?
I don't want all the detail.
So, there is... We'd have to go to a factory in China, or I don't know, or maybe they make pencils here in the United States. Maybe they do. I don't know. But if we go to a factory, you'll see all the process and you could see it. However, the eraser, how are erasers made? There's a video on YouTube that has 12 million. 12 million views.
Pen and gear.
Where?
No. HP. What?
What? Number two? How erasers are made.
An eraser is a student's best friend. Erasers are made of synthetic
rubber.
Rubber. What the heck?
Stuff on the inside. Before long, Europeans discovered it could rub out lead pencil marks. Hence the term rubber. What? What? The word rubber is actually because it could rub out the pencil. That's crazy. So it was actually... So erasers are coming from the inside of a tree. And that thing dried up or whatnot, it can actually rub off the lead. And that's became rubber. Wow, that's crazy. That's a crazy story. So anyway, you take this. So it's from the tree. The eraser's from the tree. The wood is from the tree. And the lead is from the ground. Put that all together. Boom. In the machine. Put it all, you know, the machine does
it. In the metal. What about the metal? And what about the paint? What's the paint made out of in the metal?
Oh gosh, that I'm not. It's. I don't know that.
Daddy, you're just saying that because you don't want to go through a long thing.
No, really. I'm actually not sure where that stuff is made from. We could ask. Like, for me, I'm like, whoa, you know why? Because I think we want to go to a place that makes pencils. A better answer to that is, like, we'd actually have to go to the factory. Oh, but here's a trick. Sorry, the shortcut that I have. If you want to make a pencil, you could go to a website, Luna, called AliExpress.
AliExpress.
AliExpress.com.
Or you could just go to this company's factory and see how they make colored pencils.
Yeah, but they hide their factory. You know that.
Why do they hide it?
Well, this is why. Because if you know the factory that makes that, then you could just buy it from the factory instead of buying it from this brand. You see? Do you understand? Like, do you know that I don't own any factories, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I sell thousands of products, right?
Yeah, and the factory gives it to you. And then you pay them.
Yes, that's right. So, in some cases, you want to say, hey, it's all about the relationship, Luna. If you're working with a factory, sometimes a factory will make the same product for a lot of different customers. So they have 10 people that have the same product. For our top sellers, our best sellers, we make a deal and we say, okay, Mr. Factory and these wonderful people, let's work together. We're going to buy a lot of stuff from you, a lot of stuff from you, but you can only sell to us because we don't want you selling the same stuff to a bunch of other people in the United States, for example. So we make a deal and they say, you're going to make it just for us and we're going to buy a lot from you. We make a deal and make a partnership. Now, we don't have the same product. I have something special because we develop together how to make an amazing set of coloring pencils. But that factory, sometimes they don't make that. You don't make that agreement. And they say, I'm going to sell to everybody. So then someone comes along and says, I want to make the same exact thing, the same as this company. And then you have 20 people that have the same exact thing. And guess what happens? And everybody has the same thing.
What?
It sells for a lot less price.
Yeah.
Because you might buy that for $30. But if someone and someone else starts selling it for $25, you buy from the other person. Then someone else starts selling it for $20. Someone else starts selling it for $15. And if you all have the same exact thing, what happens, Luna?
It goes to like 25 cents.
Yeah, it goes down to about the cost of the product. So if this costs like $10 plus shipping and whatever, maybe it'll go down to like $17, $16 because then you have to pay Amazon, the shipping, all that stuff. But it'll go down.
Yeah.
At some point, if you put 25 cents, you actually lose money. If I sell something for 25 cents on Amazon, you know how much Amazon pays me?
Oh, 25 cents.
Zero. They actually take money from me. You know that?
What?
You can't, because every time, if I have this at the Amazon warehouse, Luna, and they sell it, or I sell it, They will charge me money. They make me pay for the shipping. So they'll send it to the customer, and they might charge me $4. So if I sell something for $2, okay, and they ship it for me, instead of paying me $2, they're actually going to take $2 away from me. So what's the lowest price then you could sell if Amazon's going to take $4?
10?
No, like 5. If you sell if they charge $4.
So you're basically just going to get $1?
That's right. If you sell it for $5, Amazon, let's say, they take a percent. So like,
and then this actually costs like maybe $10.
That's right. So you lose money.
You're losing money.
That's right. You're losing money. You absolutely lose money. So the price will not go to 25 cents. It'll go down to about the cost of that plus the cost of shipping it that Amazon's going to do it. So like this item might go down to $15. But right now I bet you that's probably like $30 or $40 or something like that.
It is actually $41.
$41.
I think. That's right. I think.
So that person probably made $10 or made $15. But if someone starts selling that exact same thing and the same pictures and the same stuff, then it starts going down in price. Do you want to sell stuff for the lowest price or the highest price?
Highest.
Why?
So then people think it's more quality and it's more rare for people to get it. If there's so many in the world, you know what? Why would you even want it? You want to be unique, you know?
You want to be unique, you know? Absolutely, I agree with that. So you want to have high prices, if possible. But at the same time, sometimes you want to have a low price so a lot of people will buy it. So it kind of depends.
It depends what people they are and what your product is.
Okay.
If it's like a pencil... What do you mean? You want to sell a pencil for $100?
Yeah, well, there's a pen. I have a pen somewhere that was like $800.
Well, maybe because it's very good quality, but that's this pencil right here is probably just very few dollars.
That's right. That's pretty. It's pretty inexpensive. Not.
But if you sold it for $100, probably nobody would want to buy it.
Nobody would want to buy it. That is correct.
Unless it was the only one in the world.
Yep. That's true.
But
if it was a special one. Like, if you become really famous, and it's like, that's the first pencil that Luna ever used to draw on the sketch pad or something, and you were a famous, like, drawing person, maybe it would sell for $100.
Well, this is the only pencil I use.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So maybe some things have value that way. Okay, so now, Luna, back to our question. Could we do the podcast and we do the drawing later?
Yeah.
That'll be really exciting for me. I'll feel, like, amazing, like you're paying attention. Okay, so now we have our very special question that we have on the podcast with me and you.
What is it?
Which is, Luna, you can ask me any question.
In the world.
In the world, and I will try my best to answer it, okay?
And if you don't, you die. I'm kidding, you don't.
Okay, so Luna, what question would you like to ask?
I would like to ask, you still didn't finish my question. I also asked, how do they make colors? How do they make color of this?
Oh, like colored pencils. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very good question. So those are called dyes, D-Y-E-S, dyes.
But how do they make the dye go everywhere in the lead, and then it's a little more waxy than this? Gosh. See the difference between this and this? Yep. Okay, let's write it.
Well, I will tell you that this is, again, it's not a question I have an easy answer to. But I know that different colors come from different stuff. Some colors will actually come from some flowers. They crush up flowers and they'll make it into little stuff and they push it all together. So some comes from flowers. Some might come from dirt. Some might come from, it comes from different things. And it all depends how they make it. And before, now they have, I guess, the machines and they can kind of make a different color, like on purpose. But I don't really, I'm sorry. That's all. All I know is that it started out with different things on the earth. You would have to find out. A flower, a root, a different plant, the leaves, all these different things, and you would crush it and like put it in little pieces, and that would make colors. So right now, wow. I think they're called artificial colors, so they have to make it from something. I don't really know the process. It's hard for me to talk. I can talk more about selling and about stuff like that than about manufacturing, which is called making stuff, because I don't really manufacture like that many stuff like in
factories. I know, because you don't work at a factory.
I don't.
You own business.
That's true.
But a factory is a business, right?
Yep. Well, it could be a business. Like, it could be part of a bigger business, or it could be its own business. Or maybe there could be 5 businesses in one factory as well, depending on different types. But yes, correct.
Wow.
A factory could be a business. Okay, so any other question, Ms. Luna?
Yes. About selling.
Yes.
How are some things more valuable and some things, even though, like, about Pokemon cards, when you sell them, and they're very old, but it's a very bad card, why does it get higher price?
There are very few cards that go higher in price. And if they're old, like, if they're actually not in good condition, most of them are worth very, very, very little. So, here's why. People like things, okay? And if you became, let's say, you love Pokemon more than anything, Luna. Let's say one day you came to me and said, Daddy, I love Pokemon. Pokemon's my favorite thing in the whole universe. I say, okay, Luna, perfect. And you started trading Pokemon cards. You started playing. You started doing whatever. You watched the TV. And you just love it so much.
Well, that's me turning into something, but I still like coloring better.
Good. So let's just say that happened to, let's say someone else. Let's say it happened to Violet. Violet grows up, she's 20, and she says, my favorite thing in the world is Pokemon. And she says, you know what? I'm going to have the best collection of Pokemon cards in the whole planet. And really, the price comes from that wanting, Luna. When somebody wants it, it becomes valuable. And she says, what is the most expensive Pokemon card? And it turns out to be a Charizard special edition run.
No, which one is it? I just learned it was not. It actually, there was just a new card. Which it's one? A Pikachu something.
The most expensive card ever? Okay, fine. Maybe that's like some video.
Somebody told me that at school, but I still think it's a Charizard.
No, it might be true. I think there was one Pikachu. I saw this video. It's a crazy video, and it was like, I don't know, $10 million for one Pikachu because there's only like 3 on the planet or 1 or something. So I think that's not false, but the card that has more of them is part of the Charizard, and that was for a long time the most expensive one. Whatever it is. Somebody says they're super rich, they have all the money in the world, and they say, what is the most expensive card? I want it. And that's why it's worth money. Only because somebody says they want it. If nobody wanted it, it would be worth nothing because it's a piece of paper. It does nothing. Other than the fact that somebody really wants that special thing and they want to have it to show it.
No, it's not a piece of paper. It's really special. Because then
special
you can get, you can get money for winning. But if it's fake...
No, that's not why it's valuable. No. Why? That Pikachu card is not good for playing in tournaments. That the Pikachu card that's worth whatever, 10 million, 1 million, whatever it is, half a million, I don't know the price, is not used in tournaments. Do you believe that?
What?
It's not.
Well, then I hate that card.
Well, you don't... Why? If you had the card, would you want it?
Well, I would want it, but I would never want it. Like, I would just... Like, trade it for a good... I would sell it for a good card that I can actually use in tournaments, you know?
Yeah. So, the cards for the tournaments, Luna, are not normally that expensive. Like, there's a card called, like, a Lugia that was used for tournaments recently. And that might be, like, I don't know, $50 or $80 or whatever it was. And then maybe it's down even out to maybe 20 or 10. Because it's used for a tournament, but the tournament changes. Do you know the best card for a tournament today will not be the best card for the tournament in 2 years? Mm-hmm. Or even in 6 months? You know that changes or no?
Why does it change?
Because every 6 months or however many times per year, all the cards are changed. Because the company is there to keep people interested, to make them want to buy more and to have fun.
Are they the most rich person in the world?
No, the Pokemon. No, but they're pretty rich. The most rich person in the world, I think, right now is Elon Musk, who makes Tesla. Or maybe Jeff Bezos. It changes. They go back and forth sometimes. Jeff Bezos, who created Amazon. So the guy who created Amazon or the guy who created Tesla. Those are the most rich people.
I love Teslas.
Yep. There you go. So
We have two Teslas.
It's true. So, but no. The person who made Pokemon, I don't know if they're even alive. I cannot answer. Nope. No idea.
Yeah, Pokemon been around for a long time.
Not that long. It came out, I think, when I was when I was younger than you. I was maybe 5 or something like that. The reason it's valuable, Luna, is just because someone wants it, that's all. If someone really, really wanted that thing right now from you, they say, I want it. Here's $10. And then you could say, no, I won't give it to you.
I don't want to ever give this away because I made it and I want to give it to you and Mommy.
Exactly. So, I'll take it and I'll be very happy and I love it and it's amazing. Now, let's say one day, Luna, I saved that, okay? And then you went and you became a famous... super famous person who makes a bunch of stuff and they do on the walls, and I had that one and I saved it from this day, and they said, I want Luna's very first keychain thing that maybe could be worth like maybe $200,000.
This is not my first one, it's my second.
Your second one. Okay, good.
The first one I made I think is clipped onto my backpack.
Well, there you go. So the only reason it'll be worth money is if somebody wants it and they want to pay for it. That is it. That is how the price is made. If somebody wants to pay for it, then it's worth money. If nobody wants to pay for it, it's not worth money. That is it. You can make this most beautiful notepad on the universe and the planet and the most beautiful pictures. Nobody wants to buy it. They might buy it for $1. Or they might say, I don't even want it.
Oh, good. Because if I make the beautiful drawing in there, then I don't want to give it away. I don't want to sell it. I just want to keep it for me.
Exactly.
Because I really like it.
That's perfect. Yeah, and you make something else to sell.
I just thought I would note really quick that the name of the person who made Pokemon is Satoshi Tajiri.
Okay.
And he is still alive. He was born in 1965.
Wow. He's about the grandpa's age. He's a little bit younger than grandpa. Satoshi?
Satoshi Tajiri.
Stop. You know, because Satoshi's is the guy apparently that also they made the Bitcoin.
Satoshi.
They're called Satoshi.
Like Yoshi.
1/1000th of a Bitcoin is also called the Satoshi. So the founder of Pokemon maybe also made Bitcoin.
Probably not.
No, I'm joking. Sure not. But really, they're called the Satoshi. Satoshi is a... Look, check it out.
Yoshi.
Bitcoin.
Instead of Satoshi, Yoshi.
Yeah. So, interesting. So Satoshi is the guy who made Pokemon.
Yeah, Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto.
Exactly. And the Pokemon, Satoshi what?
Nakamoto.
Satoshi
Nakamoto.
Tajiri.
Tajiri.
Pokemon, yeah.
So Luna, did you ever hear of Bitcoin?
No. I have no idea.
You want to be the first person in your school that knows about Bitcoin? Well, yeah. I'll be around your whole school, but you want to learn about it?
Yeah.
Okay. Bitcoin is money that only lives in the computer, but people can buy real things with it. You can buy a Tesla with Bitcoin, a real-life Tesla.
But... why would you want it if you can't live it?
You can't have it in your hand, but you can have it in your computer.
So what if your computer is dead and you can never see it again?
Well, no, because it lives, this money, it lives in a thing that basically, it just says who has the money. And it lives in a bunch of computers. It lives in thousands or maybe tens of thousands of computers that all say who has the money.
You serious?
I'm being totally serious. This is Bitcoin. It's a thing called, it's called the blockchain. Because it's like a big chain. It's like linked together.
How do you make Bitcoin?
The guy made it, Satoshi Nakamoto. He made Bitcoin and he said he did this whole thing and blah, and he made all these different things, and you basically have a computer. It connects up. You get a program.
Is he the richest person in the world?
Maybe, but nobody actually knows his real name. It's a fake name that he made. Whoever made it, it was a one person or a company, who knows? But the Bitcoin, they don't know the real person's name. It's totally a secret name.
So if I knew what it was, what would happen?
I don't know.
And what if...
You would say it, nobody would believe you because they say, no, nobody knows. You can't prove it. So even if you knew, nobody would believe you.
What if I showed them provement and showed them the guy and forced him to say his real name?
But nobody would believe him. No matter what, you right now, you proof. How would you show proof? Anyway, okay, different story. So point is Bitcoin, Luna. Bitcoin, okay? Money that lives in its own world that all bunch of computers all around the world say who owns the money. And they could say, boop, I can give money to you. And then you could say you have a secret password that you use to move that money from your owning it to someone else owning it.
And quick question.
Yep.
I have a question about Bitcoin.
Okay, good.
On the computer, what if everybody in the whole world's computer died at 1 second and there was no more to get used? What would happen to the company Bitcoin? And what would happen to all their money?
Probably it would all get scammed and faked, then it would all be gone. But you know, hold on. Do you know something crazy, Luna? Do you ever heard of a thing? I know you didn't. I probably don't think you did, but there's a thing called, you ever heard of Y2K?
Like the UK?
Or no, Y2K. You know what that is? It's a Y and a 2 and then a K.
Why?
The year 2000. Year 2000. It was crazy, Luna. I was born in 1990, okay? That was like 33 years ago, 34 years ago, okay? When the year turned 2000, people thought that the world was going to explode and all die. They just said, well, the year was going to turn and all the computers, because they didn't learn and know about the thing turning into a zero and this, and it was going to explode and it was going to crash. And who knows, a comet would come out of the sky and everybody would die. And people were scared and they sold stuff and they bought stuff and they went in their basements and they were waiting for the clock to turn. And maybe the world was going to explode.
Why? Why would they think that? That's hilarious.
It's true.
I don't feel like the world is ever going to explode unless there's a monster in space bigger than the sun, bigger than the biggest thing in the world, bigger than the galaxies, came and thought it was a ball and crushed it.
Yeah, that would be a very interesting end of the world. It would be way more interesting than just like a computer turning to a zero and then the world exploding.
Why would a computer... Because a computer is just life on the computer. It's not real life. So how would you just...
It didn't happen. Nothing exploded. No, nothing crashed.
You know why? Because computers aren't a living thing like humans.
That's true. They're
robots. Even robots.
But robots can make things explode. You haven't seen an exploding robot? They have like a big...
Well, that's because they know how... They're smart. But that's only because... A person made it do that. So
that's true.
See, it's still not its living mind. Somebody made it do that.
Not yet. What? Not yet. It could happen.
Yeah.
We have thinking robots one day.
You take a dead person, take out their brain, and put it in a robot. And the robot makes the brain come alive again. And then it becomes a real-life robot that can be the person that was there, but instead a robot.
Wow. I think there's a story about that called Frankenstein. They tried to do something like that. That's a big story. And if you write a book like that, a lady wrote that. Her name is Shelley. Mary Shelley. She actually wrote it, and she became really famous and rich because I hope she did, because she wrote Frankenstein, and everybody knows about Frankenstein now. You know about Frankenstein, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Actually, no. I know her name. I thought that name was familiar because I seen a book with that author.
Yep. It's kind of a book more for adults. Like, I don't think it's a kid's, but it has a lot of crazy words, and it's a big fat book. I haven't read it yet. Anyway, okay, next question. Any question in the entire world, anything about any topic, anything ever, Luna, what would you like to ask me today?
how did people find out about paper, and how did they find out that people can actually make paper into origami, and how do people make it go, you know what, one step at a time.
One step at a time. Okay, origami. Origami, you know, comes from Japan. Japan anime comes from Japan also, and Pokemon comes from Japan.
I know that if things come from Japan that I like.
Yep, we should go to Japan. But
I love anime.
Good, excellent. So, origami. I was actually origami master when I was in around your age. Actually, right around your age. I did a competition. Okay. I beat everybody.
Do origami.
So how did origami happen? Let's go with that question because I think it's the easiest one to answer. Well, there's some paper and someone is just wanting to create something. You can actually make anything with this paper. This can be a hat. It can be some deodorant. It could be a nose picker. It could be whatever. But somebody decided it was going to be something else. And they just folded it up and came it out. Like someone just made it.
So like, let me just make it into the origami size. You just fold it.
You can do origami. And so I'll be answering the question as best I can. You can make things. And guess what happens? When you are the first person to do something and you make, like, you teach other people and you make it into something, you can give it whatever name you want to give it. And you're the first, the creator of it. So that was a very interesting hat. So somebody just named it and they said, I'm going to call it origami. They could have also called it traminami, or they could have called it paper folding, or they could have called it whatever. It's just a name that somebody put on how to fold paper, and they showed people how to do it, and then it learned, and then it became its own thing, and other people did it, and other people taught it, and then it became its whole, like,
and then somebody copied it and made a company about origami. Yes. So.
Oh, you know, I have a whole origami set. Someone who sells origami on Amazon, and I help them. Did I tell you that?
No.
Oh my god. Oh, did I bring it to the house already? Let me go check if I have it. If not, let me go see. Real fast. Hold
on. Does that mean it's the end?
Oh, no, I'm coming
right back. Hold on. Very quiet. Boom. You lick it, and then it comes off. And now, I used to know how to do something with this. I was just, what should I do? Should I make a little something I made up? What?
This origami paper set.
Yay, I can make something.
This is a pinwheel, the brand name is called Pinwheel Crafts, and we helped them. We actually did a whole thing. This lady had her brand, and there was people coming in that were making it way cheaper than her and taking a lot of basically the sales and not giving it to her. And I said, hey, change your image, change your stuff, make more stuff in there, add things, and actually helped her change it. And she did this whole new set, and she said her sales went up and it really helped her a lot. And then she gave me this to give to you or to Violet, and so we can play together with it.
Yay.
Look at this, Luna. So origami, okay, literally, this could be your business if you wanted to do little origami. Ooh, you could sell this kind of stuff. Look at that. Look at these quid origami kits. Look at that. Yes. So much paper, flower paper, books.
Buy this.
You have it already. It's in your hand.
No, other people should buy this.
Of course. Okay, so guys, Pinwheel Crafts, 450 piece of origami. There is actually me going over and showing her how to do this. But guys, a good brand, Pinwheel Crafts, U.S. owned. A lot of the competition are not maybe U.S. owned, but she's adding different things and doing this. And yeah. So guys, this will be the end of the podcast, though.
No.
Because we're going to go home. But support Pinwheel Crafts. If you want to play origami and do stuff, look at this cool origami kit. There's a lot of different pieces in there. A lot of different things. And study those images. And you can go to the history. By the way, everybody, if you're listening, if you go to a thing called Wheel Back Time. Hold on. Time machine? Wayback machine. Okay. If you go to Wayback Machine, you can open up this thing on Amazon. Look at it. Ooh, now. Go to Wayback Machine and look how it was earlier, like 2 years ago, and you'll see the difference of an image change. So I recommend that you go check that out if you'd like to see the history. And look at that. Luna loves all these different sets. And we're gonna go do some of this tonight. All right. Peace out, everybody. Luna, thank you for coming on. We should do this.
One more question. How people figure out how to play Monopoly, and how were games made?
Ah, it's just like origami, the same thing. Some one person has an idea, and they said, I want to do something for fun. And they said, guess what? Let's make a game. To make a game, all you need is rules and a way to play. So how do you play? What are the things you have to do? Who do you have to win? How do you win? And you make it. Anybody can make a game. Just like friend of ours made tacos versus burritos.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is a card. This is another card.
Yeah.
And this is another card. And then whoever gets the color I'm thinking of first wins.
Oh, you
I won. Was thinking of green.
You win, and then now I win. So, anyways, you just make it up with your mind. Your mind can make anything. Every game that's been played on this world is all been made by one person just like you who says, I want to make something. They make it. You can make anything. You can make a brand. You can make a game. You can make origami. You can make anything. The world
even with
is your
broken
playing field.
Wrist.
Your wrist is totally not broken anymore. Congratulations.
It is actually swollen still.
Swollen still, yeah, but you had a broken wrist and now you know how to no longer have a broken wrist. Amazing. So, good job, everybody. Okay, bye.